So here we go. We are on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. For those of you who prefer, we are up to 5A at the top. At the Mishnah, somewhat at the top. Ad Masai Shoal and it's like a Shalmim. Until what point do we ask for rain? Now, as we learned before on Daf Dalan Amud Beis, when it says over here, at what point do we ask for rain? Really, we're going like Ula, who says that these are two; these are both the same time as the Hazkara. So even though our Mishnah mentions She'ela, really it's talking about Hazkara as well. We don't paskin like this. But at any rate, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad Sheyavra Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says that we mention rain after Pesach passes. Rabbi Meir Omer ad Sheyetze Nisan, until Nisan goes out. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayored Lachem Geshem, rain falls for you. More Umalkosh Barishon, the early rain and the late rain, Barishon, on Nisan. So we see that there is a, that rain is pertinent to Rishon, to Nisan. So even though you could still be in the month of Nisan, you could nevertheless still have rain, and that's why, until what time do we ask for rain? That's until all the way through through Nisan time, according to Rabbi Meir. Normally, the early rain, as we're going to see in this Gemara, normally the early rain, we speak about Cheshvan. So the Gemara is going to ask, what are you talking about, Nisan? It doesn't sound like, the Pasuk sounds like it's saying that the early rain happens in Nisan. It doesn't. The late rain, meaning the there are several periods of rain, as we'll see on Daf Vav. But there are several periods of rain, and the late rain, I mean, the last one is going to be in the last one's going to be in Nisan, but the early one's going to be all the way in Cheshvan. So the Gemara asks immediately that Amar Le Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak Yoreh B'Nisanu.
David.
Yes, that's my name. Yes.
It seems like, is it that this Mishnah has a certain connection to the other Mishnah? Because I'm hearing things in this Mishnah that I heard before.
That's what I just mentioned.
Or was there a Mishnah that was quoted in the last Gemara, in the Gemara to the last Mishnah?
Where that's right. I just said that this Mishnah is what we spoke about over here. This Gemara over here. It's the same Mishnah. It's the same Mishnah. It's a quote. It's a direct
Except
quote.
Except we didn't have that Pasuk at the end.
Correct. We did not have that Pasuk. We had everything else.
Okay.
The whole kit and caboodle, if you will. We had Rabbi Yehuda and we had Rabbi Meir. Both quoted.
So what is the pasuk coming to teach us to add?
The pasuk is coming to teach you that you can have rain even through Nisan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have rain past Pesach. That's the very last point of rain. But according to Rabbi Meir, it's not true. We mention rain even throughout Pesach and throughout the month of Nisan. And how do you know that? Because the pasuk says Vayore Lachem Geshem, that rain falls even in the entire month of Nisan. There you have
it.
Yeah,
but again, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says and Rabbi Meir says, okay, as opposed to what we do.
You got it. All right, Amalei. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Yoreh B'Nisan Hu, Yoreh B'Mar Cheshvan Hu. Like we said, the early rain does not come in Nisan, it comes in Mar Cheshvan. So what are you talking about? This pasuk seems to imply that we have an early rain at Nisan time, but we don't have an early rain at Nisan time, so what is this pasuk talking about? The Tanya, how do we know that the early rain comes in Cheshvan? Because it says, the Braisa says, Yoreh B'Mar Cheshvan U'Malkush B'Nisan. Well, there you have it. Can't get more explicit than that. The early rain is in Cheshvan, and the late rain is in Nisan. So what is the pasuk talking about? So Amalei Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak answers back to Rav Nachman. He says, this is what Rabbi Yochanan says. Bimei Yoel ben Petuel Niskay Mikrezeh. Yoel Hanavi was speaking about a different time. And this pasuk that we quoted in the Mishnah, Vayor Lechem Geshem Mor Malkush Barishon, is talking about that time. The Chsiv Bey, as it says over there, Yeser HaGezem Achel HaArbeh. The remainder of the gezem, which is a type of food, I don't know, what type of crop. What is the gezem crop?
I don't know. Gezer is carrots. What's gezem?
I don't know. That's what I just asked you. And you're the one with the art scroll.
Oh, okay. I thought you were testing us, not...
No, I don't have a definition for the crop.
They vowelize it gezem. It says the gezem locust.
Oh, the gezem locust. Okay.
Gezem locust has left.
The Gazam locust is left.
And the whatever the Arba locust.
Very good. Whatever crop the Gazam locust left over, achala arbe. The arbe, the other type of locust, ate up. And this is a type of famine. Osashana, in that year, yatsa adar v'la yarduk shamim. It was a terrible year where the locusts were eating up all the crop, and there was no rain. And even throughout Adar, there was no rain. Yardalahem revia rishona, they had the first rain. And as we'll see, rain is referred to as a revia. We'll see that in a later Gemara, why. But the revia rishona, the very first rain, came be'echad b'nisan, on the very first of Nisan. So that's what the Pasuk was talking about in our Mishnah, was talking about the early rain. Typically, the early rain does in fact come in Cheshvan, but here, because it was such desperate times, they didn't have any rain, and they had a terrible bout of locusts. So the first rain didn't fall until the first of Nisan. Amar lahem Navi Yisrael, the Navi said to Klal Yisrael, Tz'ur v'zaru, go out and seed. Because you see, the first rain came, so this is a good time to seed whatever you have left. And this is a time of famine, but nevertheless, whatever you have left, put it out there, because the rain is coming. Amrullah, they said to him, what are you talking about? Mish yesh lo kav chitim, o kabayim saorim. Somebody who has a kav of chitim, a kav is a measurement, a kav of chitim, or two kabayim.
Volumetric, right?
Volumetric, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, not to be confused with biometric. But yes, it's volumetric.
As opposed to mishkal, like to weight or
weight
mass.
Metric, yes. What?
Not mass. It's right.
It's volume.
I just don't know the size of a kav. Okay.
Kav. I don't know either. Mishiyishul kav chitim. He who has a kav of chitim or two kabayim of saorim, yochlenu v'yichya o yizreenu v'yahus. He says, look, they say to him, look, we got two options over here. Either whatever crops we have left, we eat them and we survive, or we plant them in the ground and we die. So what are we going to do? We're going to listen to you, we're going to plant all of our seeds, and then within a week we're dead. He says, Amar lahem afal pikein, do it. Tz'u v'zaru. I want you to do it. Nasat lahem nes, a miracle happened to them. V'nezgal lahem masha shebiksalim u'masha b'chorin amalim. What was hidden in the walls and in the cracks of the that the ants planted in the ground, the little seeds that were hidden in the cracks, yatsu came out, and they saw that there was actually going to be a miracle happening here, and therefore yatsu v'zaru sheni v'shliv shiravi. They went out on the second day of Nisan, third day of Nisan, and fourth day of Nisan, and they planted everything that they had, every last drop. V'yardu lehem revia shniya b'chamisha b'nisan. And the revia shniya, the second rain, fell for them on the fifth of Nisan. And he krivu omer b'shisha asr b'nisan. On the 16th of Nisan, they had enough crops. The crops grew that quickly. They had enough crops that they could bring the omer, the korban omer that they were supposed to bring on the 16th. They were able to bring it normally. Even though normally it takes a good 6 months for the bounty to come, because usually the revia rishona is in Cheshvan, and then it doesn't take until, so it takes about a good 6 months for them to get a good enough bounty for the korban omer. But here it grew extra fast. Nimtzeis tavua hagdela b'shisha chadashim. What we found is that the produce that normally grows in 6 months, gedela be'achadasar yom, grew in 11 days, because it was day 5 that the revia shniya came out, the second rain came out, and it was on the 16th of Nisan they were able to bring the crop. So in 11 days, boom, they had themselves a crop. And nimsa omer hakarv metruo shashisha chadashim. The omer that is normally brought from crops of 6 months, karev mitvuo shel achadasar yom, was able to be brought from crops that grew in just 11 days. Val oso hador.
How many months?
About 6, because in Cheshvan, you count Cheshvan, Kislev, Teve, Shvat, Adar, Nisan, right? So about 6 months, roughly, give or take.
They were told to plant because it was Nebuah.
What?
They were told to plant the seeds because it's Nebuah.
Yeah, it was Yoel Anavi.
Who told them to do it?
Yoel Anavi.
My brother's Hebrew name was Yoel.
Right, but that was, it's not the same person, just so you know. It's not the same person. If anybody was thinking, it's not the same person. I'm not saying your brother's not a prophet. I'm just saying it's not the same time period. It's off by several thousand years. But otherwise,
it's a landscaper, though. Who's a
landscaper? He was a landscaper. So it makes sense. So it, wow, wow.
Who's a landscaper?
Yeah, well, you're the brother.
Anesthesiologist.
Yeah, that's but to say, yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing. It's basically he's a professional, right? Uh-huh. I mean, that's really what we're getting at.
But you have a black brother.
Anesthesiologist. It's all the same thing, really. If you think about it, it's all the same. You really have to think very hard about it.
But a hidden meaning behind it.
Yeah,
your mother would be proud either way.
Mother, exactly.
Unless
yeah.
Your father is.
I think this is the first thing I know about Yoel Hanavi in my life, really.
Wow.
Other than the exists.
Wow.
In English,
okay.
They call him Joel.
Yeah.
Right. Stephen Joel Stanton.
Anyway.
We had a little tangential moment.
Yeah, no, exactly. Let's get back.
Yoel Hanavi is in the time of David Amelech, right?
No, I believe this is later. This is later. This is in the time of, I'll tell you which king it is, but this is already when the Maluch was split. This is after that.
Okay,
time.
But I'm saying that there is a Yoel that's, I think he's a Navi, that's mentioned in the time of David.
Nasan. You're thinking about Nasan HaNavi.
I'm also thinking that there was a Yoel.
Moshe, I think you're talking about Joel Youngblood, former right fielder.
Joel Youngblood, that's possible. It's possible. Reincarnation of Yoel Hanavi.
Yes. He had a good arm.
He had a good arm. Okay. At any rate.
Phillies fan.
Okay, at any rate. Val Osu Hador Hu Omer, on this generation it is said the following pasuk, which we should all know quite well. Hazorim Bedima Berina Yiktsoru. Those who plant with tears will harvest with joy. Why do they plant with tears? Because this was the last of their crop. And they were relying on the Navi's prophecy to come true, because otherwise they'd be dead. But Barina Yiktsoru, they were able to harvest with joy. Haloch Yelech Uvacho, they would go on and cry. Nosei Meshach Hazor, those who carry the burden of the seeding. My halach yelech uvacho. What does that have to do with? What is that pasuk talking about? That the hemshech of the pasuk halach yelech uvacho doesn't seem to fit in, because if you're talking about the people who planted with tears, that they're halach yelech uvacho, they're going and they're crying. Isn't that repetitive? So why do we need to say halach yelech uvacho? What is halach yelech uvacho saying that hazorim bedima is not? So the Gemara says. My holich yelech uvacho no se meshach v'chulei. Am Rabbi Yehuda shor. It's talking about the shore. Kishahu choresh, when it would plow the land. Holech uboche, it would go and it would cry because it wasn't able to benefit from any of its. It was just going ahead and plowing. It was just plowing dirt. It got no benefits. Ubachaziraso, but when it came back on its way back from the plowing, when it plowed the second time around. Ochel chazes minatelam. That's how quickly it was growing. The seed that they just seeded and plowed through on their way back, it was already starting to grow. So they were able to get benefit from the grasses and vegetation that popped out of the ground in that short period of time that they went back. So that's the holoch yelech uvacho nosei meshach hazara. Right? V'zehu bo yavu barina. That's what it means when it says bo yavu barina. They would come back with joy because they would go halach yelech uvacho. Then when they were going, they were crying. They were getting no benefit. But bo yavu barina. When they come back, the shore would come back. Boom. There was already some vegetation growing.
When they were going and then they came back.
Yeah.
Is that within the 11 days? Or is that... You know, they plowed, and then a few hours later, they came back and already saw some.
I think it's within a few hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's within a few hours. yes, indeed. The Tosas is on this, but I'm not sure what Tosas is saying yet. I have to look into that. At any rate, yes, I believe it's within a few hours. It was already starting to grow, and they were able to get benefit from it. My nosei alum osav, those who carry its bundles. What is that talking about? The very end of the pasuk. Am Rav Chizda v'amilav b'masis satana. Some people say it was Rav Chizda. Some people say this was learned in a brisa. That kana zeres shiboles zartayim. Usually when you have a reed or a sheave, let's say for example you have the stalk of the wheat or the barley. So you'd have this tall stalk. Let's say it was a zeres, which is like a, what is a zeres? A half an amma or something like that. So let's say it was a half an amma long, right? It was this yay long or something like that. So it would normally be that the stalk would be 2 or 3 times the size of the bounty of the produce that was attached to the stalk. But here, you would have a stalk that was half an amma long, and it would be attached to that stalk would be shibboleth zartayim. You'd have double the amount of produce attached to that stalk of wheat. So you'd have this tremendous bounty coming from this one little stalk. So nisim upon nisim were happening at that time. Amalei Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma'idich Siv, what does it say, what does it mean in the Pasuk when it says there, Ki kara Hashem l'rav, Hashem is called to the famine, V'gam ba el ha'aretz sheva shanim, and the famine will come to the land for 7 years. For 7 years they had a famine, says the Gemara Bahanach sheva shanim, Mayachol. If it was a famine for 7 years, what could they be eating for 7 years? How could they live for 7 years? Didn't they die out? Amar lehachi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He says to him, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said about that. Shana rishona achlu mashe babatim. The first year they ate whatever they had left in their stored in their houses. Shnia, the second year, achlu mashe besados. The second year they ate that which was in the fields. Shlishis, in the third year, basar behema tahora. They ate their kosher animals. They ate those up. Revius, in the fourth year, they were completely desperate. Basar behema tmeya, they had to eat non-kosher animals. They had to stay alive. They hadn't a choice. Chamishis, in the fifth year, basar shkatzim ramasim, they had to eat the flesh of the shkatzim ramasim, the animals that are completely, not just tamei, not just not kosher to eat, but even shkatzim ramasim, they have a further isser in the Torah. As we know from Parshas, Shmini. Very good. Shkatzim ramasim is an additional isser.
What's the additional isser?
Shkatzim ramasim. Sheketzim lo yochelu.
These are the.
But what's additional? Like
these are the rats and the mice and the bunnies and the you know, for a full list, look at your local parshas.
A bunny is considered a
what?
A sheketz? Oh, okay.
A what?
A sheretz?
I believe it's a sheretz. It's a what do you call it?
A bunny though.
It's like what?
Some sort of rodent. It's a my focus, I thought, what the specific is.
Yeah, yeah, Shafan. Like the Shafan, is the Shafan considered a bunny? What exactly is the Shafan? I heard a whole shiur about the Shafan. Anyway, there is machlokas what the Shafan is. But whatever, the bats and the owls and the those kinds of animals. There's shkatzim and ramasim.
There's like a lizard. Wait,
so that's, a lizard is one of them. Worse the tinshamis.
That's worse than eating like pig or camel or whatever?
They emanate tuma after they're dead versus yes. Those, like the other behemoths.
Right, the other animals, dead, right. Whatever. Right. They do, yes. There is an additional isser. Yes.
It's not a different isser. It's an additional isser.
I believe so. I believe it's an additional isser, not a different isser. I could be wrong about that. And it could be it's just a different isser, and it's just more disgusting. So the Gemara here is expressing the level of desperation here.
Then this isn't talking about eating like bugs, worse. Like flies.
Bugs and flies. That's a ramasim. That's included.
Also.
Okay. You ever had a fly? It's quite delicious.
I had a fly in my mouth.
I had a rib one time. Shishis in the sixth year, Basar b'neim uvnoseihem. Then they got really desperate. They started eating the flesh of their sons and daughters.
When did this happen?
This happened in the times of Yoel Hanavi. When was that exactly? Yeah. That was during, I don't remember. Again, this was during the times of Malachim. When the Malchus was split, I can tell you there was a certain king.
Historical charts.
Yeah, you got to look in the charts. I'm not very good with the timing here. Let me see if I can. This is
that's called surviving eating.
I mean, but if it's after the split, we're saying that it's like 2,000 years ago.
That's called
less,
surviving because you're killing people.
No, I think that they were already dead. I don't think they were killing. I don't think they were killing their
they were eating corpses. They weren't killing people to eat.
Right. They weren't right. This wasn't like cannibalism. It was just their sons and daughters were dying from starvation, and they were eating the flesh off of their bodies.
But it doesn't say them. They were eating their abbas and imas. If the abbas and imas died, or
well,
something.
Well, typically the children die before their parents die, because the parents have enough, you know, meat on them.
Plus, they were not going to keep it up at home, so it wasn't really an issue.
Oh, very good. Very good. Great word. Okay. Shvi'is Basar Zero Sehem. In the seventh year, they would eat their own arms, the flesh of their own arms. You ever tried the flesh of your own arms?
Right. Not in the last couple of weeks.
It's been a couple of weeks since we tried that. L'chaim HaShanemar, this is being Makayim, what it
and
says in the
Pesach. And then it plowed.
What?
It planted and plowed. With one arm?
Yeah.
With some arm jerky well, in their mouth.
Yeah, exactly, arm jerky. Yeah, arm jerky. Yeah, it's really quite delicious.
They made a movie about that. I think it's called Alive.
Alive. How do I know that movie?
Yeah, it's in the early 90s.
The football team.
The Spanish rugby team, the plane crash. Some of them died. Some of them
died. It was like a Peru on the mountain. And then they found like a farmer. And when they were like, when one of the guys went down, he's like, "Hey, how's it going? What's in that sock?" He's like, "Not another person."
Oh man. There you go. At any rate, I will take your word for that. L'chaim HaShanemar, this is being Mekayim the pasuk that says, "Ish besar zero yochelu." A person will eat the flesh of his arm. V'amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman said further to Rav Yitzchak, "My dechsev." What does it say in the pasuk? This one's going to be less gruesome. Don't worry. Okay. Exactly. For those of you who are traumatized, you can come back now. Okay. The coast is clear. The sun will come out. My dechsev, what does it mean in the pasuk when it says "Bekir b'cha kadosh"? In your midst, there is kedusha. V'lo avo ba'ir, but I will not come to the city. Hashem says, "Mishum de bekir b'cha kadosh lo avo ba'ir." The Gemara says that doesn't make any sense. If there's kedusha in your midst, why would Hashem not come to the city? So the pasuk is not logical. Amar lehachi amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said about this pasuk. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Lo avo bi Yerushalayim shamala ad she'avo li Yerushalayim shalamata." I will not come to Yerushalayim shamala. I will not set up my mikdash shalmala until there is a mikdash shalmata, until the Yerushalayim has been rebuilt in all its glory. Is there such a concept as Yerushalayim Shalmala? Where do we get that from? So the Gemara says, yes, there is. Dechsiv Yerushalayim Habnuya. The rebuilt Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. Ki'ir Shib Chubra Loch Yachdav. Like its corresponding city. Right? So what does it mean that Yerushalayim will be rebuilt like its corresponding city? So there's a corresponding Yerushalayim. To Yerushalayim Shalmata, there is a corresponding Yerushalayim Shalmala. Beautiful. V'amala Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman said further to Rav Yitzchak, "My dechsev." What does the following pasuk mean? "Uba'achas Yevaru." With one of them, Yevaru, they will be destroyed. They will be consumed. V'yichaslu v'yechsulu, and they will be corrupted, or they will be a ksil is like a fool. They will be made into fools. Musar havalim etzu. They will reject musar. They will reject any type of rebuke, like an etz. They'll be like totally immune, right? Totally like as if totally callous to any form of musar. Sorry, callous. My apologies. Amrle, Dwight. He didn't come yet.
He's going to be the film Rebbe in a couple of
months. Exactly. Amar lehachi am Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yitzchak answers, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said on that pasuk. Achas hi, there is that one, shemeva'eres reshoim begehenim, there is that one avera that destroys, it consumes the reshoim and gehenim. Maihi, and what is that one avera that consumes the reshoim and gehenim? Avodah Zarah. That's talking about the isser of Avodah Zarah. Because of ksiv hacha, because it says in this pasuk, musar havalim etzu, the rebuke of the havalim will be considered like eitz. It will be totally dead. Uksiv hasam, and it says over there in a different pasuk, hevel hema maasei ta'atuim. The actions of those who go astray will be hevel. So we see that there's a juxtaposition. There is a gzer shava, if you will, of hevel. Hevel, to say that so too the hevel over here is talking about the hevel of avodah zarah. Tatuim is a reference to those who go astray, meaning those who worship idolatry.
The destroyer of the Rishonim in Gehenna, meaning there's no chance for them to get out?
Yeah, I think it means that. They have no chance.
You worship idols, you don't.
Yeah, exactly. It is. How do we say? Not recommended.
It's not a segula for getting out of Canada.
Not a segula. No. Don't try this at home, type of thing.
Right, and I won't.
Okay, I appreciate that. Amrlei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman said to Rav Yitzchak, "Ma'itich siv." What does the following pasuk mean when it says, "Kishtayim ra'os asa'ami"? My people, Hashem says, my people did two things bad. They did two acts of wickedness. Tartin, who says the Gemara at that time, Tartin, there was only two, the Havu, Esrin, Va'arba, Shvikalahu. They left, they abandoned 24. Now, what is the 24? So Rashi says down here that this is talking about Yechezkel, and there were Yechezkel over there in Perek Chav Beis enumerates 24 averos that they violated. So that's the reference to 24. Rashi gives another lashon and says, Sha'avru al Chavdalid Svarim, that the Chavdalid Svarim of Tanakh, they completely abandoned. So that's a reference to basically Kol Torah Kula. Okay?
Wait a minute. Here, Yechezkel says 24 averos. In some editions of the Gemara, the number 22 is given, for 22 sins remain besides the two mentioned by the Navi.
Uh-huh. Fair enough. I think I have that gear, so also one second.
It says even the commentators,
yes.
I am the source of shows.
Yeah.
Rabbeinu Hananel mentions the
22. Oh, okay. There you have it. Okay, I stand corrected. Another sheet. At any rate, it's not just two, so why does the pasuk say that they have only violated two? Amar Leis, Rabbi Yitzchak answers Rav Nachman, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, again Rabbi Yochanan adds his 2 cents. Achas Shehishkula Kishtayim. It's really one Avera that's considered like two. Remind you who, and what is that one Avera? Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah Zarah. And how is Avodah Zarah considered like two? Dechsev, as it says in the Pasuk, Kishtayim Ra'os Asami. My nation did two acts of wickedness. O Siyazvu Makor Mayim Chayim. They left me, they abandoned me, which is I am, Hashem says, I am the source of all life. And what did they do in place of me? Lachsov Lahem Boros Boros Nishbarim. To hew for themselves, to carve out for themselves boros boros nishbarim, these broken kalim. So they not only abandoned me, but they were attracted to these broken vessels. What are these broken vessels? Uksivbahu, it says by them, ki avru iyechitiyim, they pass by the islands of the Kutis, vira'u, and they saw, they were enthralled by them. The Kedar, and they passed by the Kedars, Shalchu v'hizbonenu, and they contemplated that. Ma'ot, so they not only abandoned me, but they went to these other places, and they were enthralled by them. Ha'hemer goy Elohim, this is part of the Pasuk, Ha'hemer goy Elohim, behem lo Elohim. Do you see that these people, the Chitim and the Kedars, do you see that they are abandoning their gods, even though they're not even gods? Vami hamir kvodo below Yoil, and my people, they abandoned their kavod, meaning the kavod of Hashem, and it has no benefit for them. Meaning I am the benefit, the ultimate benefit, and they're abandoning me, even though the Chitim and the Kedars have a God that isn't a God, and they don't abandon that God. Tana, it says in the Braisa, Chutim ovdim le'esh, the Chutim would worship the fire, the Kedarim over them lamayim, and the Kedars would worship the water. Even though they knew full well that the water can put out the fire, and ultimately something else can put out the water. I guess the fire can put out the water, they can really dispose of themselves. So they knew that their God wasn't even omnipotent, and yet they followed their God. Lohemir Elohehem. They did not They did not rebel against their God. Va'ami, even though it isn't a God. Va'ami, but Hashem says, my nation, Hamir Kvodi. They did, in fact, rebel against my Kavod below Yoel to no benefit whatsoever. And with that, we stop here.
Okay. And,
so once again, we pick up instead of Thursday night, Monday evening. And for those of you who are Zocha to be here, you will know that.
You meant
for those
who are not, Wednesday. Wednesday.
I'm sorry, what did I say? Thursday will be Wednesday. My apologies. Sunday will be instead of Monday.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa.
I guess we're...
I guess that's the cue.
No. I said that I had a word to say at the end of 5A.
Okay, go for it. Go for it.
Mentions Hevel. Okay, and I'm thinking the line from Alina, Shem Yishtakem Hit Meheva Vareik Mitpalim El El Lo Yoshia. Okay, and this is from Rav Asher Baruch Wegbright, The Power of Alina, page 52, False Powers. And by the way, the shul has Power of Alina in its library.
I read that book every day. It's amazing.
Yeah, you read it every day.
Yeah. They bow down to vanity and emptiness, and they pray to a thing. You know, I'm not going to say the three letter word that cannot save. Okay, and so then I'm thinking, Adam's two sons, Cain and Hevel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Cain was a bad guy. And Hevel was a good guy. Hevel brought his best stuff. Okay. Why is he called Hevel? Vanity. Useless. Vanity. Okay. Why is he called Hevel? Somebody said a word to me over the previous Shabbos, not this past Shabbos, Yom Tov, previous Shabbos. Hevel understood what the world was about. Vanity, emptiness, okay. You name a person by the qualities that you hope to see in that person.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently Adam and Chava named this son Hevel because they hoped that he would understand, you know. And I'm thinking, after they ate the Eitz HaDaas and gained knowledge, good and evil, that this son would understand what good and evil is and what the world is all about. Ergo, the name Hevel. Even though Hevel was the good guy.
Very good. Shkoyach. That's the end of that.